Good morning, and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here was our assignment. Okay. It is a great obstacle to happiness to expect too much. When we examine expectations, we recognize why they are such obstacles to happiness. Have you ever had an expectation that was actually met? Not if your attention was on a conditioned conversation. The whole point of expectations is to make sure we're not present to what is. The irony is that when we're not in the conditioned world of expectations, which promises everything and delivers nothing, we are so much more likely to be fulfilled in ways that we cannot even imagine. Today, let go conditioned expectations of how things ought to be and experience the happiness to be found in how things are. Recording?
Talk about a secret of the universe, right?
All right. Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Pat from Asheville.
Oh, hello, Pat.
Hi, Pat.
Hi. To begin with, I have got to add my gratitude to the two of you and everyone else who has any part of Project Joy. It has just been huge for helping my practice, and I just have gotten so many more positive parts of our practice from having the daily program come on. And so thank you, especially to the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
What I was seeing about this particular assignment yesterday was how huge a part of my life expectations have been, and I had never identified that particular thing as a separate bamboozle, but I, just looking at it yesterday instantly, what dropped in was the expectations I've had even as a small child. And the first one, the biggest one, I suppose, every year would be expectations around Christmas, and which never lived up to any of the expectations. I grew up in a part of the country where we rarely saw a snowflake and certainly not a jingle bell or a sleigh bell ever. And then when Christmas would be over, there would be that big letdown and the depression that would come in, and that clung to me for years until I finally was old enough to realize that Christmas was not going to be all of that hype, and to let go of it. And then I began seeing other expectations that I had a very strict mother and very high expectations for myself always. And as a small child, I was just trying to meet her expectations, but then I began internalizing all of those expectations for myself, and conditioning took over and just started driving the bus. And I'm seeing what an enormous presence keeping up with those expectations has been for my entire life. And yesterday,
and,
thinking about that
ahead.
And trying to stay present and being present and letting go of all of those expectations, seeing where they still exist in my life, I guess that was the most important thing. It's difficult sometimes to ferret those things all out.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Expectations and assumptions are probably the most fiendish two things that we're up against, because it's trying to trying to see something that the nature of which is you can't see it until afterward. So,
that's right. It's sort of like in the realm of hope. You hope for something to happen, And then when it doesn't, your hope is dashed. And you expect something, and then afterwards, of course, oftentimes the beatings begin coming in. Well, you didn't do what you should have done in whatever the situation.
Yeah, yes. And that, now talk about fiendish, right? So that's what keeps us from being able to see a process like assumption or expectation, right? Because when the expectation isn't met, there's nothing that says, oh, well, that's because expectations are bogus. That expectations are just something that's happening in conditioned mind. They're not real. Instead, self-hate comes in with, well, it would have worked if you were different, if you had done XYZ, or if you weren't ABC. So it's really difficult to see through these kinds of bamboozles. We can have sympathy for ourselves. It's really hard.
Exactly. Those expectations just creep in there. If you're not very, very, very aware and paying very close attention, they're just so automatic. I mean, like when I get in my car to go somewhere, I expect to arrive there safely. Well, you know, there's no given that that's going to happen. Around here, we've been having a lot of construction, and a lot of the streets have been the traffic has been disrupted because of that. So sometimes it's not an easy way, an easy time to just get from one point A to point B. And all of life pretty much is that same way. You don't really know. Right. What is going to happen?
Yes. Which, again, in awareness practice, of course, what we have going for us is we're working hard to be here. And so that's one thing we've got going for us. Because when we're here, there isn't the space, there isn't the room for the expectations that there is when we're lost in conditioned mind. And the second thing that you've pointed out that we have going for us is when we're here, we watch the story start about how it's our fault, how whatever happened is our fault because we're the wrong person. And if we can nip that right there, as soon as that story starts, that, well, it could have if you had then, okay, got it. Self-hate maintaining the illusion that conversation in my head is reality. Not doing that. Back here. Yeah.
Right.
Good to see, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I've done a lot of recording already about that, and Mentor is such a fantastic help. I don't know what I'd do without her. She amazes me.
Oh, gosh.
And how brilliant she is. I only wish I had
experience. Yes, because finally we have somebody on our side, right? Before awareness practice, it was just us and conditioned mind. With periodic little forays into presence that showed us something, gave us an insight about something, and blessedly kept us on the path. But since we have a practice that we can do, that we know we can pick up that recorder, we can talk to the mentor, we can hear what the mentor has to say, now life is clearly our ally. Now we know where to turn attention. And that makes all the difference, doesn't it?
Exactly. I don't really have a clue what I would do without recording, listening, and with the mentor. It has been so tremendous to me. It's I guess the biggest part about my practice that has made me feel so much better.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for that commercial, because there are still a lot of people who are listening to those voices in their head saying, "Oh no. You know, I don't feel like, you know, later, do it later." But the relationship that you're pointing at with life, because that's what it is. It's an intimate, deep relationship with life. That's a life changer.
Yes.
All right.
This whole practice is a life changer, and I'm so grateful.
It is, isn't it? Me too.
It absolutely is. Thank you all again so much. I appreciate you every day.
Oh, good. Thank you. Well, we appreciate everybody who joins us, right? Because Ashwini and I do like talking with one another, but it just wouldn't be the same without everybody else. So
yes, Sangha is so amazing, and I'm so fortunate here in Asheville to have our Sangha that is such a huge part of my life as well. Just thanks to everyone.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Pat. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Pat.
Bye-bye.
It was lovely to hear from you. Yes, it's so true. The assumptions and expectations are by nature unseen and so difficult to catch on to.
See.
Well, and to me the fascinating part about that is exactly how you and Pat laid it out, which is the only way we get to see them is because the self-hate comes in about how, in order to make us feel that, and it's that point of awareness that we understand the assumption or the expectation, and the feeling bad takes us down the route, which is the deflection from catching on to the existence of an assumption or expectation that we could have let, we can let go of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so as soon as we see it, as soon as we hear that voice saying, well, if you, whatever it is, then it's, no, expectation, assumption, wasn't here.
Yeah.
Got to get here. Check in with the mentor. Should I have known that? The mentor is going to say,
exactly.
No, because we can't know what hasn't happened yet. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yes. Good reminder. Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello? Whoa. Somebody was underwater there, but we heard him.
Hello? Well, she went away. Bummer.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if I can bring her back if she gets back in the queue.
You must know who it is. So that's...
Pardon?
You must know who it is so you can look for them. You must be recognized.
Yes, I do know who it is. And it's someone who hasn't actually put themselves in the queue for a very long time. So it was very exciting to see them there. Well, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Beth in California.
Hello, Beth. you sound so far away when you said in California. I thought, I think you must just be on a speakerphone. Is that right?
Well, yeah, I'm on the computer. Is it coming through?
Oh, yeah. No, it's okay. It's just that... You didn't sound like you were in California, so
no.
On the computer. All right, good.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. So what struck me about this yesterday was the looking at expectations that were things are going to go really bad now. And so yesterday I had a couple of bouts with you know, it really is that place that I think we've been pointing to a lot lately, which was sensations. Like there's just the conclusion, and it's just like a swamping. All of a sudden, it's like, and I just said to myself, wow, I'm just in a really bad mood. Uh-huh. And there was just a place of kind of, is that so? And I don't know. It's hard to explain. It was just.
I'm making a noise, Beth.
Yeah. Yeah. And
you
all
just,
those.
See, you could just like you're a blow up doll, and the air is just swooshing out.
Yeah. Yes.
This
yes.
Is bad.
And yeah. Bad. Yeah. And the total going with. Oh, my God, this is just going to go downhill from here. I mean, it's hard to imagine going downhill from having all the air let out, but there's an argument for it.
Yeah, and so you are, since you've recognized that process as a process, it sounds as if you're interfering with it by asking that age-old beautiful Zen question. Is that so?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And what dropped in right behind that was you don't have to do anything. Like, you don't have to work to get out of this and try to be a better person or try to fix it or try to... It was kind of a place of just, wow, really bad mood. Oh, gosh, is that so? And then just going and doing the next thing. Like, whatever I had been in the midst of doing or, you know, was transitioning. And actually, you know, that's right. It happened in a transition place.
Uh-huh. Which this stuff always does, right? Because I leave this thing that I've been focused on and I'm going to that thing that I'm going to be focused on to whatever degree I can focus on anything. And in that movement between those two, here comes conditioning. Well, blah, 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 blah. And there goes the whoosh and the and we don't even know what happened to us. You know, it's so stopping to say, is that so, is really a good idea. Because when you check in, there's no evidence of that. Well, why am I in a bad mood? Well, I don't know. Well, then maybe I'm not in a bad mood. If I don't know what I'm in a bad mood about, maybe I'm not in a bad mood. Let's check. Let's look and see. Let's dance a few steps and see if I really am in a bad mood.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. That was exactly it. It was just so simple and only simple because I think of practice.
Yes.
You know,
you're there.
Yeah. And the reinforcement and the reassurance of, you know, all of the opportunities that are afforded to us to practice. From the radio show to the monastery to the new center to, you know, everything of just here's all the different ways you can be assisted in asking that question.
Yeah. Yeah, in being present. And what's so helpful, I think, about what you're pointing out is that very often expectations, what people trip over is it's going to be great, right? It's, you know, because I've been waiting so long to see this play. I'm so excited about this gathering. I'm going to get together with my friend. I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be great. I mean, it's not. Okay, because conditioning comes in and says, well, you know, it's a blah, 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 whatever. And it's my fault, of course, because I'm a student of awareness, and so I should be able to rise to any occasion and be centered and wonderful and change the entire world. But it also works on the other side of the duality, right? Oh, no. Oh, God, this is going to be a nightmare. This
right.
Is awful. This is not going to work. This is not going to. So either side of the assumption, expectation, either side of the duality can take us to the same place.
Exactly.
Which is the place that conditioned mind, ego, is always trying to get us, which is anywhere other than here. Right? So let's talk about how good it's going to be. Let's talk about how bad it's going to be. Let's not be there for whatever it is and then get a postmortem on it in which, you know, it's your fault that whatever happened, and away we go. Once we see that process, right, that everything that's going on in our head is designed to keep us from being present. That's all. That's all. That's all that's going on. It's not about the content. It's not about being a better person. It's not about trying harder. It's not about anything other than that system trying to get our attention so we're not in the moment. That's it.
Yes, that is my experience exactly. And I think, you know, I think it was a year ago that I got the guidance to drop the conversation, and that's it. You know, that's the conversation about the expectations, or the conversation about what, you know, how it should have been, or how we wish it would be, or how, whatever it is. It's just
Or about what I'm going to buy at the grocery store, right? So, you know, a lot of people get confused over, well, which conversation are we talking about dropping? You mean the self-hating ones or the ones about this? No, all of them. All of them. It's like having a radio playing in your head. Turn it off. And when we turn it off, then we're here, and life can guide us.
Yeah.
Now the channels are open. Now we're present to what is.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Ashwini, and yay.
Thank you, Beth.
It's just so wonderful to underline that all conversations are just a distraction from being in the moment. And so we just drop all of it. Because if we attend to even a little bit of the content, then it does translate into the next, whatever the content is about. And to recognize that all content needs to just go away because we're in the process of distraction or process of not being here, it's just a clear practice.
Yeah.
The conversation, I need to drop it so I could be here. That's it.
Yeah. So conditioned mind will say, well, but I need to know what I'm going to get at the store. Well, you need to know that when you get to the store. You don't need to know that on the drive to the store. On the drive to the store, you can be present to whatever is happening on the drive to the store. In that way, we don't miss a single moment of life.
So, Sherry, I do see the person in the list on the show that I was attempting to unmute, but they're not in the queue. So if they want to be called on, star 6, if not, I'll move on to the next caller.
They might have star 6 by mistake, so we'll let them.
Yes, okay. So here is the next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. It's Karen.
Well, hello, Karen.
Hi. Oh, so good to be here. And I loved this this practice focus because oh my gosh, the expectations of life and just how you know what? This sort of the what I'm working with in my own life. You know, some content feels more charged than others, for sure. And I was given a beautiful, I don't know, I guess a mantra, because of just the content that I'm experiencing in my life. It's kind of long term. You know, doesn't go away and won't go away until someone passes away. And so to me, the what it boils down to, the not having expectations, is really a way of saying, really a way of being in the process of acceptance for what is.
Yes.
Present to what is. And so this, so the mantra I was given that has just been so helpful. I don't even know if it was given as a mantra, but that's what I use it for. Is, you know, this is the experience of, and then you can fill in the blank. You know, this is the experience of weepiness because of love of someone that's having a difficult time, or this is the experience of wanting so much to change things and yet knowing that that can't be, or just whatever that is, instead of getting lost in the I want things to be different, you know, this shouldn't be happening. I can just go to that sort of mantra of this is the experience of someone.
It reminds me of one of the exercises that we sometimes do, now I'm aware. You know, now I'm aware of weepiness. Now I'm aware of clenching in my stomach. Now I'm aware of needing to get a glass of water. Now I'm aware. Yeah. So that same kind of process of really staying here with this.
Yes.
Whatever this is, with this human being, with this. Yeah.
Yeah. And what I'm noticing. Go ahead.
No, go ahead with what you're noticing. I was going to tell you a little story. Go ahead with what you're noticing.
No, I want to hear your story.
Years ago, I was working with somebody who volunteered with a group who would go, and it wasn't hospice, but would go with people who were in the process of dying and just be with them and support them. And so he was with this chap who was really at the end, really at the end. And so he, you know, he got ready and went and he took his book because, you know, what he was going to do is just sit there and read his book while this fellow slept. And so he got there and the guy was sitting up in bed. And so he said, well, what today? And the guy said, I want to clean the closets. So his caregiver, you know, was just completely flummoxed because I was expecting to read this book. And now I'm going to spend the afternoon cleaning closets. Mm-hmm. And I've just always remembered that as such a great example of what happens to us when we get caught in expectations and assumptions of how things are and what's going to happen and what it means and how we're going to be.
Yes. And that, oh, yeah, that is such a beautiful example of what it's like to be practicing where I'm practicing because every day is different. Every moment is different. It's so...
And
you can't know anything. And to be here, because there's no instruction book for this.
Right.
And so to just be here and sense the next step has been, it's like, you know, there's many, many times that I really, really see that there's absolutely nothing to worry about because, it's that looking to life, and that's the only place I can stay with this is, and there's no worry when I'm looking to life for the next step, that everything drops in. It's all working out. I don't have to know what to do for a month from now. I only have to know what to do for now. And then if there is something for a month from now, life will begin to drop that in and it'll repeat. And then I'll know. And it's just been such a wonderful process. But to me, it's all grounded in the acceptance of everything. And I'm going to use
and
that.
Again, presence, right? So, you know, you make me remember my favorite, probably my one of six favorite quotes by Jesus. When the time comes, what you need will be given to you. And that's what you're living, right? When you're right there and present, everything you need will be given to you.
Yeah, that is just the biggest comfort. And sometimes what it is sometimes here's what's needed. Sometimes I'll say, oh, this is the experience of feeling like I urgently need such and such, you know, and I don't have it. And this is, and that's all that's needed in the moment is to just accept that. Oh, I didn't see this. I wish I would have known this yesterday or, you know, but nothing's ever been urgent in that way. It's just each little thing. And it does seem to be given.
Yeah, because not only will you know what to do, right? It will be given to you what to do, but also the awareness and insights will be given to you. Everything we need is given to us in every moment. And our only difficulty is we're not here for it. That's why we have problems, because we're not here for it. And, of course, you know, the other place, Karen, that I think of that you know well, where there's no instruction book, is as a new parent.
Right? Very much like that, yes.
Yeah, it's that same process of, wow, the stakes are really high. I want to be present for this. And sadly, of course, almost nobody knows that that's what we need to do. And so people suffer hideously in those circumstances.
Yeah.
So, the beginning of life and the end of life give us such great high-stakes opportunities to choose life, to put our trust in the only thing that is actually trustworthy. And then we get to everything in between, we can keep coming back to, that really is true. I really do want to be here for that. I want to grow that faith.
And in that way, something that most people think would be a hideous time, there's a beauty about it. There's just such a beauty about this time in my life that, you always say people want their own experience and they wouldn't trade it. And you know what? I wouldn't trade this either. And, I would have it be different if I had that power, but for my loved one, but I wouldn't trade being here for the work of it and the presence of it. So anyway.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you.
Okay.
I really
you and
Ashwini. Take care. Okay.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Karen. Well, that brings us to the end of another show, wonderful show, Sherry, and an assignment that is also always as appropriate to what we've been looking at as possibly can be. And here it is. There isn't any secret formula or method. You learn love by loving, by paying attention, and doing what one thereby discovers has to be done. Isn't that our experience? Isn't that our experience? When all of our attention is on a task or attending to an object or with someone completely, there's no room for a conversation about what's wrong or what's missing. It's also our experience that when attention is not here, when it is tuned to the voices, we don't know anything. We're not here to know or receive anything other than what the voices are saying, which if we are paying any attention at all, is never loving or accepting. Today, train with intention as an instrument of love. Be enamored with life and completely attentive to what is arising. What is your experience of cultivating a love of paying attention? Record and listen.
Wow. Was that a love affair with attention? Is that how that was phrased?
Yeah, cultivating a love of paying attention. But a love affair with attention.
Yeah, a love of paying attention. Wow. That works too, doesn't it? All right. Well, thank you so much, Ashwini, as always. And thanks to everybody, huh?
Thank you, everyone. Take care. Go happy. Treasure yourself.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.